Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. About 20 minutes away from Brian's segment, including Get These Guys to Grab, as it is waiver wire day for fantasy football. Check out Two Dudes Same Fantasy as well, the Facebook Live waiver wire show coming up this afternoon at 3:30 with Brian and Bo. Grant McCauley joins us now, as he always does on Tuesdays at 12:20.
G-Mac.
Grant, what a fun, unexpected story coming out of last night's game. And this was kind of hard to do. We asked you to rank things, but you look at all the unexpected accomplishments that the Braves have had this year with the young guys and what Strider's done. And like, where does Bryce Elder going complete game shutout rank in terms of unexpected accomplishments in the 2022 Braves season?
I mean, it's definitely unexpected, but I think he's pitched pretty well in his previous outings and opportunities here late. But really, it's unexpected. I feel like when anybody throws nine innings anymore, it just doesn't happen that often. True. It's the first time the Braves have done it all year. But, you know, singularly, obviously, it's the best performance of his young career. That's, you know, saying a lot. But, you know, most importantly, the Braves needed him to go out there, give them a chance to win. They need to get their offense going. They took care of that, and Bryce Elder just took care of the rest. So I don't know if it would make, you know, the top 10 moments of the season necessarily, but it's certainly got to be in that honorable mention category at worst. And for him, I think he just further validates the progress that he has made throughout the season and the importance that he is playing down the stretch at a time in which the Braves are down Spencer Strider. They have, I think, a little bit of a question mark going on with Charlie Morton right now, too. So you just want to have as many good performances as you can as you come down and try to chase down the Mets. So a game back with eight to play. So it's a very timely performance by Bryce Elder. I'll definitely give him that.
What are the chances you think, because we don't know how long – we know Spencer Strider's out for the regular season, but we don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. What are the chances you think that a guy like an Elder or a Mueller that might get a chance to go in the playoffs as a starter?
Well, you have – yeah, I mean, you have to have plan B, plan C, or maybe even plan D at this point. I mean, we saw the Braves have to dip into that in the World Series last year when they threw two bullpen games. So we've seen that as extreme as it can get on the biggest stage and the biggest games it can get when injury forces you to change those plans. But, you know, for right now, I feel like, you know, cautiously optimistic that Spencer Strider is getting the time he needs to be back in there. Am I a little bit wary of, all right, well, you take a couple of weeks off, then the, you know, next time back on a big league mound against a team is in the postseason.
Right.
You know, that does lead you to, you know, maybe be a little anxious about it for sure. But, you know, Bryce Elder, I think, has given them some confidence in the depth of this rotation. You know, I think that Kyle Muller is going to have an opportunity today to continue to show what he's done at the Gwinnett level all year long. And what he showed in a doubleheader start not long ago against the Miami Marlins. And I think it's probably important to point out that, you know, Mueller's success there against Miami, and of course Elder has faced the Marlins twice, he's faced the Nationals twice. This is not exactly, you know, the playoff caliber competition that you will be facing come October, but I don't think it should lead you to believe it's anything, you know, close to a smoke and mirrors act.
Right. Yeah, we mentioned that earlier. We tried to mention as much positive stuff as we could before we said that, so as not to detract from what he did last night. But it's true. He has faced those two teams. What did you make of Michael Harris batting cleanup last night? Is that something that you could see them continuing with throughout the remainder of the season, maybe in the playoffs?
Maybe. I mean, I guess you can't rule it out right now. I mean, the optimal thing is that Matt Olson figures some things out, and it appears by his swings the last couple of days he might be starting to put a few things together. Oh. And you have him back in that spot, or you have Austin Riley in that spot. I think that, you know, Matt's been fine batting third this year, and I don't know if it's – I mean, you look at Matt's numbers, his splits between third and fourth, I don't really feel like they're too extreme, but Austin Riley's, you know, experience in the fourth spot earlier this year coincided with the best time that he had going. But Michael Harris is a guy that, to me, he profiles as somebody that you want to have toward the top of your order, maybe not necessarily in the big traditional run-producing spot, but he's been your flat-out best hitter in the month of September. And the only guy that's even close to him is Travis d'Arnaud, and he's also been hitting a little bit of cleanup. So I think Brian Snitker might be taking a little bit of the approach of, all right, well, if I can get some guys on, let me have one of my best hitters up there to take a swing with a couple of three guys on base. But I'll be interested to see how they continue to do this, because if Ronald's healthy, you know he's going to be leading off. You know Dansby's going to be batting second. I feel like Austin Riley's going to be hitting third. So where can you put Michael Harris to get him the most at-bats? It might have just been a process of elimination that ended him up at the cleanup spot last night.
I know a few months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, we were all debating who would be on the final playoff roster. Well, Neon Sleeve Ozuna has been hitting the ball really well. Does this seem like he's maybe solidified his spot on that playoff roster?
I'm very interested to see where he is, because I think it has to be one of those kind of fringy things that, you know, what have you done for me lately is certainly a category that you look at with, you know, taking your hottest hitters in. But, you know, where is Marcell Ozuna doing his biggest and best damage? Is he doing it, you know, late and close situations? Is he hitting go-ahead home runs? Is he getting go-ahead base hits? Or is he just kind of collecting some hits and the opportunities that he gets against clubs and may not necessarily be that higher upper echelon, you know, competition? I would tend to probably lean toward the latter. I mean, last night the Braves won 8-0. It's always great to score as many runs as you can, but you're playing the Washington Nationals. It's a game you need to win. You need to win them all. But I don't know that Marcell Ozuna is necessarily exuding the most confidence I have of the most important hitters for the Braves in the postseason. But we've also seen some guys that you don't expect to get big performances out of turn out to be maybe the National League Championship Series MVP or the World Series MVP right. Just last year.
Yeah, no doubt. So two more games against the Nationals tonight, tomorrow night, day off Thursday, and then, of course, the big series at home, three games against the Mets. What's on your mind regarding that series? I know they've stacked the pitching rotation the way that they have to try to best utilize their starters against the Mets, but what are you thinking about with the Mets coming to town this weekend and the division looks like it's up for grabs?
I mean, the Braves have been a team that's been driven by their offense and their power this year. So if they're able to get those run-scoring, you know, games going or those big innings, and I know that Scherzer and DeGrom is going to be a rough ride, but you don't necessarily have to just beat them. And I know Edwin Diaz is the best closer in baseball and all of that stuff, but you know, the Mets can be vulnerable, you know, before you get to Diaz. I mean, don't let it get to him with a big lead would probably be an ideal situation, but you know, they are a tough team. They are a club that clearly at this point, we're not talking about any amount of sample size that has propped the Mets up at this point. They have gone through their schedule and they have won at a pace just ahead of what the Braves have done all year long. These two teams have basically played the same 162, or will have by the time it's all said and done. And amazingly, it's all going to come down to, you know, what they can do in these three games, I think, for the Braves. Because if you can sweep it, you flip this series, you take a lead in the East, you've got three games to play on the other side, and you've taken over the tiebreaker if, in fact, there is some kind of tie on the other side of this, because there is no game 163 this year. So that's one thing I've been thinking about. The other thing in the last 24 hours I've been thinking about is the weather. Are we going to be able to get all these games in? Because it seems like we're going to be getting a lot of rain rolling through the state of Georgia on the back end of this hurricane. And clearly they got the worst of it coming in Florida. But from a weather standpoint and purely sports standpoint, it might be a little bit of a wet weekend over at Truist Park.
That was going to be my question to you. If they do have to decide maybe to move these games, how they would do it. It was so crazy, Greg.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Andy gave me a stat earlier that he saw on Twitter about the sacrifice bunt and the Braves possibly being the only team in baseball not to ever do a sacrifice bunt. Now, I know obviously the game has changed, Grant, so swing and miss and all those things, hits for the field. But, I mean, that's kind of bad. Is that a bad thing?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I feel like it's kind of a product of pitchers no longer hitting more than anything. I mean, the Braves were a slam dunk to have sacrifice bunts, probably, you know, a couple dozen of them every single year because you had five starting pitchers who were going to be batting over the first five, six innings of the game at the very least. And more times than not, if there's a runner on base and less than two outs, they're going to be bunting. Right. So I think it's a combination of that and just the fact that, yeah, the game has changed. And you know, the Braves have put themselves on pace to win 100 games for the first time in nearly 20 years, and they've done it without sacrifice bunting. So I'm not going to bemoan them, you know, living and dying by the long ball, so to speak. But, you know, the game has changed a little bit, and, you know, clearly that's some of the things that I think we can all look back on. You know, that there is something I think satisfying about old traditional style of baseball where you get them on, get them over, get them in, you steal bases, you know, you do the safety squeeze or the suicide squeeze, any of these squeezes that you can come up with, you know, maybe to get a little bit more creative. But it is what it is, I think, and, you know, we're just going to have to live in a world that may not have very many sacrifice bunts going forward.
Boy, what a world, Grant. Never thought we'd get. One thing I do know is they will not sacrifice bunt all year, possibly, But given the opportunity to do it, people will be mad on Twitter if they don't. Like, you can be,
Of course.
You know for a fact they're not going to do it. People will still be surprised and upset when they do not. Grant, we appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely, you got it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.